And a good Wednesday, everybody. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Hope you're having a great day so far. He is Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. Back at the studio, we are live today. It's Scoreboard over here by Opryland. And very excited to be here for an event that involves former Duke Athletics Director Kevin White. And he's going to join us 1 to 1:30 today.
It'll be fun. Also, he's former Notre Dame athletic director. And it's been 20 years since the Bush push. And he was the AD at Notre Dame when that happened. He's got a great story of where he was when that play happened at Notre Dame Stadium 20 years ago, my goodness. So he'll join us at 1 o'clock. And fascinating man. Fascinating man. His son is the athletics director at Tennessee.
Danny White.
His other son is the head basketball coach at Georgia.
Mike White.
He's got another son that's an AD somewhere. Yeah. So they're the first family of athletic directors, and Danny White's done a heck of a job in Knoxville getting that program back up and going. So we'll talk to his dad at 1 o'clock. It'll be fun.
Well, and I always like talking to, you know, coaches and athletic directors that are retired and kind of getting their thoughts on the current state of college athletics because, you know, it's changed a whole lot since stepped away.
Yeah. You know, and Chris Massaro is a good friend of ours, you know, and we, athletic director at MTSU, and we talk often about the job now. I think of an AD, I mean, you're half fundraised. I mean, you got to hire good coaches, I get that. But also, you got to fundraise. I mean, it's more than just being an athletic director. So it'll be fun to talk to Mr. White here at 1 o'clock from Scoreboard Bar and Grill out here in Music Valley Drive.
And we'll also be joined by Philip Forsberg. He'll join the show coming up at 12:30 today, and then in the 2 o'clock hour, it's interesting. The head coach, who is Mike McCoy now, the interim head coach, he's going to talk after practice instead of before practice. So he's already done something that I praise and like better than Brian Callahan.
Well, I never understood why talk before practice. I was like, why? We want to talk to you after practice.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah, but, you know, what do we know?
We know quite a bit, pal. We know quite a bit. So I guess the media spoke with Vrabel today, the national media.
They did. Kuharsky's had some good quotes from him, others as well. But Vrabel said he texted Brian Callahan condolences earlier this week, tries to reach out to guys. Kuharsky said, asked Mike Vrabel if he has any significant memento from his time with the Titans in his office or at home. He pointed to a picture of he and his son Carter in his office, but said he doesn't even know where his Super Bowl rings are. He isn't a jersey guy. He said, quote, Goodwill's probably got a pretty good haul down on 8th Avenue.
Right, mad rush of people to Goodwill to get a Super Bowl ring. He knows exactly where his three rings are.
Do you keep stuff from your ex?
Super Bowl rings.
Well, Super Bowl rings, yes. But, like,
yeah,
you know, like Titans polos. Or I'd probably keep one, you know, or I'd ask if I had kids, like in his case, like, hey, do you guys want any of this stuff?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you know, there's some things. Like if I'm him being, you know, just him, frame one of the vests, you know, and it's like put it up there with his jerseys
That's
or something, you know. But like – I get it. You don't, you know.
Well, when Coach Wells left Kentucky to go to Eastern Kentucky, he gave me all of his Kentucky stuff.
Yeah.
When he left Tennessee to go to Kentucky.
He gave you all the Tennessee
stuff. I had boxes and boxes of Tennessee stuff and handed all those out. So I understand that. Yeah, I mean, but he's home. I mean, Vrabel's home now. And so I'm really excited for this game on Sunday because now I want the Titans to kick his ass. With Callahan, I was unsure. Now I want Mike McCoy and the Titans to kick Vrabel's butt. That's what I want on Sunday.
As my father used to say, the people in hell want ice water. They ain't going to get it.
Right? You don't think they got a chance. Did you see what one of the Raiders coaches said about him? He said, it's 20 years in the league. That's the worst football team they've ever played.
Yeah, I did see that.
But we got to rally around Mike McCoy.
No, we don't.
Got to rally. You don't want them to win Sunday? I do.
No. I hope Vrabel comes in here and beats the ever-loving you know what.
Oh my God, what happened
to
you?
Like here's the deal. And this is the fan talking. You know, I've had some fun exchanges on Twitter because of my Amy Adams Strunk B&A tweet And there's some of you out there that you're two-tone till you die, and the organization could do no wrong, and praise Amy and all that stuff. And you know what? Good on you. You have every right to feel that way. Me as a fan, which is the reason that I do what I do, it's the reason I got into this business, because I'm a fan, I think this is the most poorly run organization in the National Football League. I don't think they know what the hell they're doing.
They don't.
I think that she once again stepped in, and they can sit there and BS, and y'all can be like, well, they told us at the press conference that they all got together, and it was a collaboration, and Chad Brinker, he's running the show. No, he's not. Chad Brinker is a nice guy, but he's an empty suit, just like the rest of them over there, that when she says get rid of somebody, they do it.
All right, here's our question of the day then. Are you Team Chase? And you want Vrabel to come in here and curb stomp the franchise? Or are you Team Joe? Do you want the Titans to say, hey, Vrabel, not today, pal? That's what I want. I am disappointed in my co-host. I thought he would go all the way. But I get it. It makes for good radio. I get it. But, look, we've both been bad critics of this team. I don't know. This Sunday, I'd like to see them win the game. I'd like to see them go out there and beat Vrabel. Team Joe or Team Chase? That simple.
Okay. All right. Look. That's our question of the day.
Yep.
I'm done. I'm done right now. I need change. I need them to fix this and get this right, and I have zero faith that they're going to do that.
But you can't do that this Sunday.
No, I know, but I can be pissed off and you know, just like watch the, 'cause like here's the thing. The right move was to fire Brian Callahan.
Yeah.
But they fumbled that. They did it. And then didn't have a plan and took 7 hours to do a damn press conference. And then they get up there and they get asked questions. And, you know, you got the general manager, who I actually do think knows what he's doing, looking over at the president of football operations like, am I allowed to talk? Am I good? No, you got the – okay.
All right, a few things. It's their timeline, not ours. All right?
What is this all of a sudden you defending them?
I am. They made the right decision doing that. I'm telling you, if they think they got a plan in place, what they want to do is fine.
That's the problem, Joe. They don't have a plan in place.
How do you know? How do you know?
Because I've watched it.
It's all new now.
I have watched this for the last 2.5 years.
It's all new. This
they
week
fired
is
a
brand
GM.
New.
They fired a coach. They hired a GM.
This
they
is
fired
all
a
brand
GM.
New.
They hired a hired a coach. Fired a coach.
It's all brand new. It's all brand new. This week is brand new. New head coach. Knew everything. Daddy Callahan's gone, right? I need you to come to this side a little bit, all right?
No.
I need you to look common ground here.
No.
I'm not having it with you today.
No.
Team Joe or Team Chase?
We're going to open the show Monday, and I'm going to be sitting here going, welcome in, good Monday, Reaction Monday. The Patriots beat the Titans 57-3. What do you think? 615-737-1025.
If the Titans win on Sunday, you're doing the show Monday in a Speedo.
I might not even show up Monday.
No, we'll
how about
find
that?
You. Dr. Crane's got a bunch of people that'll be able to find you, and we'll take you down.
All right, where do you think the text line's going right now?
Team JoJo.
All right, well, let's see.
Right. Come on, we got one Sunday we got to support them.
Dustin in Hopkinsville, if this would load. Just a moment, I'll read all these. I can see the preview, but I can't actually bring up the text right now. It says, I want more than anything Vrabel, and then I don't know what else it says. Chip from Mount Juliet, 100% Chase. Wes in Clarksville, Team Chase. 0247, Team Chase.
Come on now. Don't you want to see Vrabel? Vrabel's going to come in here so cocky on Sunday, like he knows everything. Let's punch him in the face, man. Send the Patriots back home. Be a great win for the Titans. Go out and have fun.
According to Kaharski, they're not going to do any type of tribute to him either.
Fine. You're coming.
I don't care. I don't care.
You're coming to beat me. I'm not going to let it happen.
That's whatever. Well, I'll let you know what the text line says in a few minutes.
Okay.
I think we're having some internet issues over here. But yeah, we can be on different sides here. That's fine.
I think Team Joe is where it is.
I think you're just being a contrarian.
No, I'd like to see him win. I'd like to see the Titans win on Sunday. Callahan's gone. The Raiders coach since the worst team he's ever seen. It'd be great. Yeah. What a great story on Sunday afternoon with Mike McCoy coming in and everybody happy.
I will say one place that we do agree, I am leaning more towards Arthur Smith being the guy because of what I said yesterday. He knows the BS. He's the safe play. Now, he's got to get the staff right. Because if you look at the staff he had his last year in Atlanta, Jerry Gray running the defense, Dave Ragone running the offense, no. No, that ain't going to work.
Right.
If Dave Ragone wants to come coach wide receivers, all right, we can talk about that.
Right.
But no, I'm there. I think if Cleveland blows it up, which I think they're going to do, you call Jim Schwartz and see if he wants to come run the defense. And again, those are two familiar people to Amy Adams Strunk that maybe, just maybe, she'll trust and stay out of the way.
Maybe. I mean, that's the thing, is that you get somebody that knows the dysfunction of the franchise and you're fine. That goes a long, long way. Art Smith knows it. Jim Schwartz knows it. Some new guy's not going to know it. Callahan had no idea about it. And that's where it was, man.
There's another name that hasn't come up yet, and I'm at least I haven't heard it, and I'm a little surprised because I wouldn't rule it out. And I'll tell you who that is coming up next. Plus, we'll take your phone calls and maybe your text. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We're live at Scoreboard today. Chasing Big Joe, 1025 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 1025 The Game here on this Wednesday. Hope you're having a great day to this point. As we're at Scoreboard here over by Opryland. Kevin White, former college AD at Notre Dame at Duke. He'll join us coming up at 1 o'clock. Here in a few minutes, Philip Forsberg will join the program. Predators fell 7-4 last night in Toronto, their first regulation loss. But our question of the day, which, of course, all our questions of the day are brought to you by Aries Tactical. Check them out at ariestactical.com. But our question of the day is, are you team me, which you want Vrabel to come in here and beat the ever-loving daylights out of the Titans, or are you team Joe, where you want to rally around Mike McCoy and the two-tone blue?
Can you read the text line?
I'm trying.
Chip from Mount Juliet says, not a fan of Vrabel, but hope he comes and embarrasses Amy. Dustin Hopkins.
What does that say under that? That says 100% Chase.
Oh, it does? Yeah, you can read it.
Nah, I got it now.
Humble brag.
Let's see. I am neither Team Chase nor Team Joe. I am Team Baba Booey. I don't know what that means.
Got ya!
Thanks.
Oh, no! Oh, no, you fell for it.
Was that you?
No, it's Howard Stern guy.
Oh, okay.
Baba Booey. No, no, is that you?
7410. I want the Pats to win big Sunday because Amy deserves to be embarrassed. She has been absolutely ducking the fans and her responsibility for the mess we're in. If when the Titans ever start winning again, she has no right to start showing her face.
Oh, man.
9472. Team Joe all day. Amy made the right move and got Callahan out of here. It's a new slate and only up from here. To hell with Vrabel and the Patriots.
Yeah. I mean, I get your vote for you're voting for Vrabel. I understand that. And Chase, because they're big buddies. But at the same time, I mean,
he wouldn't know me if he saw me in a lineup.
That's right. But, no, I mean, that's the thing. Is I'd like to see this team. Look, it's not the players' fault, right? It's not Jeffrey Simmons' fault. It's not Shy Tuttle's fault. I mean, it's not these guys' fault, right? That the front office is...
Shy Tuttle? You went to Shy Tuttle?
Is that his name?
Yeah. But like of all the names.
Naming guys on the team. Hell, they all get cut every week or hurt, but it's not their fault that the front office is so discombobulated that they're trying to figure things out. Just support them on Sunday. See what happens. I mean, I'd love for Vrabel to leave that field with egg on his face on Sunday after the Titans beat him when nobody is giving this football team a chance against Daddy on Sunday.
9540. Bleep Amy. I hope the Patriots kick the Titans' ass.
I'm losing this battle. I need more Team 0178. Joe.
0178. Let's go, Joe. Ethan from Portland, Team Joe.
Thank you.
Wes in Clarksville, Team Chase. To me, this year is over. Does them no good to win Sunday. 9306, Team Chase. Vrabel needs to whip this team. Evan, 100% Team Chase. I hope the Patriots come in and wipe the floor with the Titans and embarrass Amy. Josh and Donaldson.
Come on, Josh.
Says, y'all in Donaldson today? Team Joe, tighten up for the real McCoy. Drinks on Chase.
Yeah, come at the scoreboard, Josh, and say hi. We're here till 3 today. Come on, say hi to us.
All right, let's go to the phones. Dustin is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. What's up?
What's up, guys? Hey, Joe, I love you, buddy. I really do. Everything you stand for, mental health, everything like that. But today it is not about them players. And the texter, my goodness, hearing something here. The texter that said she got rid of Brian Callahan, you do realize she hired the people that hired Brian Callahan. It's like this every dang year. I want Vrabel to come in here and curb stomp this team because of Amy. And this is what I wrote through text that you couldn't get earlier. I said, I want more than anything Vrabel to whack that bottom Sunday.
I want, but do you agree?
More,
listen.
I want Cam Moore to develop into Mahomes. She's a terrible owner. Even when it gets better, she implodes it. It's a reoccurring cycle. The Super Bowl we were in was under her dad. She got lucky with Vrabel, and then she tinkled it away.
Right, but don't you agree it's not the players' fault that the front office is terrible?
It's not personal with Amy. She's got to go.
I know that. She's not going anywhere. Let's get that out there. But I don't blame the players for this. I don't blame the players.
Thanks, Dustin.
Thanks, Dustin.
No, the players
faded out.
The players are mad. Appreciate your call. That means hang up.
Yeah.
All right. The players were probably mad too, but like, you know, the fan base, they want to see it. It's not the players' fault, but they want to see her fail now. She has put them in a place where it's not enjoyable to watch this team anymore, and they want to see her embarrassed.
Let me ask you a question. What did you take away from the locker room Sunday in Las Vegas? When we went back in there, when we left the locker after everybody talked, what did you take away from all that?
A couple of things. That is a team that is just defeated.
Yep.
I mean, there was no energy. And Jeffrey Simmons has become more of a leader than I really knew. Like, he really stood out as a guy that, you know, he hasn't given up. But, I mean, he, you know, you can just see the, what more do I have to do?
They looked rudderless, right? They just looked despondent, like, somebody come save us. That's what I took away from that. And now Tim Hasselbeck said yesterday that, you know, to motivate and inspire a team, the players got to step up to the plate. I get all that. But they looked uninspired, like, we need help. And that's what I took away. And that was before Callahan got fired on Monday. I was like, I've never seen a team, a professional sports team, this despondent ever. I mean, you couldn't tell if they won, lost, or they're going to the beach. I couldn't tell. And now I think they got a little umph. I think there were some bad things going on over there. McCoy alluded to a little of that.
Yeah.
So, and I just think it'll be a different atmosphere, a different feeling this week for this football team. That's why
I hope you're right. I mean, I hope there's an inspiration and what have you. I just don't think they're going to be. I mean, I think the players see as much as we do of that there's a rudderless ship, and, you know, all the national people that never give two craps about the Titans are all saying the same thing. It seems like they got some problems in the front office and ownership that they don't know what the hell they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you think the players feel when they hear that?
Yeah, you're right.
You know, it's like, now kudos, we don't know, and I feel like if it had happened, we would have known by now. I don't think Jeffrey Simmons has walked in there and be like, hey, get me out of here, or other players have done that. Kudos to them for not doing that, but if they did, I wouldn't blame them.
Would you be surprised if Simmons is traded to the Patriots on Monday?
No, not at all.
I just, something about get through this game.
This is week 8?
7.
Okay, so the deadline's in a couple weeks.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yep.
I mean, no, I wouldn't be. Real quick, Wes wants to weigh in on our question of the day. Wes, what's up?
I'm going to try to be as quick as I can. Look, man, before today, I was Team Chase all the way. After the firing of Brian Callahan, I do think it's going to spark something. And, you know, whenever an interim head coach comes in, it does kind of add a little bit of fuel to the team. But you combine that, and just hear me out, you combine that with the old-fashioned Vrabel way, and he just came off of what we used to refer to as a Vrabel special in beating the Buffalo Bills on a big game in primetime. So then he's now due to turn around and lose to a team that he should clobber. And if I remember correctly, this Raiders team just beat the Patriots, and they're not very good either. So, I mean, I put a bet. I had to, man. I went all in. I'm thinking the Titans win this game by 4 or 5 points, and I have absolutely no idea how they do it. My question to y'all is, I keep hearing Arthur Smith's name come around, and I think Arthur Smith did a great job when he was here, and I think Arthur Smith would do a great job if he came back. And everybody keeps saying, hey, well, he knows Amy. He can do this. He knows how to work with Amy. He knows how everything happens in this organization. But my question is, since he knows all of that, wouldn't that be more of a reason for him to stay away? Like, why would you want to come back to this?
Head coach, baby. Head coach.
Thanks, Wes. Appreciate the call. I mean, it's fair to ask that. By the way, the other name I was going to throw out there, don't be surprised if at least it comes up. Eddie George.
Oh, God, no.
Don't be surprised.
Oh, no, he's not ready.
He's not ready, no. No, and look, I think he's doing a good job in Bowling Green. But again, this is what I keep telling people. You can't think sensible. You have to think like she does. And she wants to hire people she knows.
They'll talk her out of that.
I hope so. I hope so. I mean, nothing against Eddie, but, I mean, I just – he's not ready for that.
I mean, success at TSU for 2 years, and you're doing okay at Bowling Green, does not mean you're qualified to be an NFL coach.
If you're bringing – I mean, and he would need a lot of counseling to in more ways than one, probably.
But, well, damn right he would.
Not what I meant, but, you know. He would need a lot somebody to mentor him and help him.
I just go back to Antonio Pierce. I mean, that was a disaster. Right. Art Smith knows the system. He wants to be a head coach again. He knows the franchise. He knows everything that goes in that building. He was part of it for a long time. And then what did McClain say yesterday about Art Smith that really stuck out? He was under Munchak, Wisenhut, Malarkey, and Vrabel. Nobody wanted all these different head coaches kept him.
Yep. No, nope, that's true.
Yeah, and I get all that, but we'll see what happens. But this win on Sunday, let's get it done.
Scott wants to weigh in. Scott, what you got?
I just wanted to talk to Big Joe about not blaming the players. I mean, we blamed everybody else, but on Sunday, they come to play, or they should. And I understand not having the confidence in the coach and all that, but, I mean, you get paid millions of dollars to catch the ball, you go catch the ball. You get paid millions of dollars to run the ball, you run the ball. That's why they're there. They are professionals. You know, somebody from Houston said they knew the Titans didn't come to play the minute they stepped out of the tunnel. That's on the players. That's on the leadership on the field, not necessarily the coaches, but the team. They've got to get themselves fired up and go out there and earn their money no matter who's coaching on Sunday. And I'm Team Chase.
Thank you.
Hang up on this fool. Scott, thank you, man. I get it. But you need a leader. You need somebody to kick him in the butt and go and get done. Half these guys aren't going to inspire themselves. They need somebody to look him in the face and get it going. Let's go. And maybe they'll get that this weekend. But, I'm not blaming the football team for the inadequacies of the front office. I'm not doing that. Maybe somebody needs to come in here and kick them in the ass and get them fired up. And I think it's this Sunday it's going to happen. I really do.
Look, if Mike McCoy wins on Sunday, you might as well get ready for him to be the coach, because she'll be like, well, he beat Vrabel, so hire him.
He did beat Vrabel.
Yeah. I mean, look, just if that's what you want, go ahead.
I don't want it. I just want them to win on Sunday. I just want them to beat Vrabel on Sunday. That would ruin his world. Because they're already crowning him to be the next Vince Lombardi, man.
6727, leave Arthur Smith out of your conversation. He's in Pittsburgh, and that's where we want him.
Steelers
God. Are you a Steelers fan?
Must be.
Must be. Coming up next, Philip Forsberg, Predators forward, going to join us on the program. Looking forward to that. Next, Chase and Big Joe live at Scoreboard, 102.5 The Game.
Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Wednesday. And we continue, as always, with a Predators player and who else but number 9, Philip Forsberg, who is on the line with us. Phil, how you doing?
Doing well. How are you guys?
Doing fantastic. I know, you know, first regulation loss last night, but I feel like you guys played well enough to win that game. In fact, I feel that way about the first 4 games. How about you?
Yeah, there are certainly things we're doing that are really good, I think. And last night was no exception to that. It's just a couple breakdowns defensively, a couple unfortunate bounces, you know, off our own end, so to speak. And but overall, I do think it was good, not great. And yeah, Toronto is obviously a team that you need to be a little better than just good enough, you know. So definitely a good start, but certainly things we can work on as well.
I asked Hal Gill this when we talked in the second intermission, but he coined it as you were in one. I mean, it was a test. It was a battle. Do you as a player like that, especially early in the season, to see how you guys handle being tested?
Yeah, no, I think that's always good. I think you need those challenges, and obviously playing a back-to-back. They had a back-to-back too, I guess, but at least playing, you know, like a really good team with the Leafs and in their building early in the season is a great test, like you said. And I don't think we failed it, but we also didn't pass it. So we're kind of somewhere, I guess, caught in the middle of it. But yeah, definitely a great experience for our young group so far.
You're only 4 games into this thing, but I know the power play continues to be something that you guys are working on. What are you seeing when you're out there that shows you, okay, we're right there at it. We just need a little bit of a tweak, and we're going to put one in the back of the net.
Yeah, I think so. I think the Ottawa game was the worst power play game we've had, but the game before that was against Utah. It was great. Thought we created a ton of chances, and last night we only had, I think, 1 or 2 opportunities and had a couple good looks. And, yeah, you know, it's getting there. I think it's definitely something we need to improve on quickly because we are, you know, we're getting chances, we're getting looks, but we put a couple in the back of the net. We could put teams away, you know, especially that Ottawa game where we had a ton of opportunities, and even Utah in the second period, that would have been nice to get 1 or 2 on the power play and kind of put them away as well. So it's, as you said, a work in progress.
Philip Forsberg is with us on the Chase and Big Joe show. Andrew Brunette said he really likes the communication, you know, the vibe that you guys have through the first handful of games. Does it feel like that's been really good on your end from the player side?
Yeah, I think so. I think honestly, it's never been an issue in my 13 years here with this team, and I do like this group a lot. I think it's a great mix of veterans and younger guys, and you know, experience and people that are here for the first time. Obviously, like Brady, and I think it's a kind of a perfect combination if you can ask for that. So I'm excited to keep growing that and keep growing it on the ice, off the ice. Obviously, this road trip is the first time to be, you know, just us together for a week. So I think it's been fun so far, and obviously today will be a good day off, and everybody can get to know each other even better and get to regroup, and then we'll go back to work tomorrow.
A guy that's been a lot of fun to watch has been Eric Halla, who made his return to the organization after playing a season, the COVID-shortened season, which I know was kind of weird. Now he's back. Andrew Brunette has commented on that line of, and I guess they've been dubbed the loud line because they're always talking to each other or the opponent. But what has Eric in particular brought back to this lineup?
Like I said, I'm really obviously very excited we were having him back too. I thought he was great for us, but it was a very short stint here with us, like you said, during the half season there a couple of years ago. But I think he just brings, you know, intensity, professionalism. He plays the game really hard, you know, and been doing it for a long time. You know, he's got a ton of experience in this league, and he's relied upon in all the key situations, and I think he's lived up to that. And I think that nickname for that loud line is pretty spot on, I'm not going to lie.
Philip Forsberg is with us. Brady Martin, he sat out the last couple games, but he's played the first few. He's played alongside you. You obviously remember what it was like as an 18, 19-year-old coming into this league and probably, you know, bright-eyed and how crazy it was. How do you feel like he's adapted to this point? Because from my perspective, he doesn't feel like an 18-year-old the way he conducts himself.
No, not at all. I think, like you said, there's a moment here and there when you see the 18, but it's all off the ice. On the ice, I think he looks like he's been around for a long time. And like I said, for the most part, even off the ice, he's just very mature and very – he's a well-raised kid. His family did a great job with him out on that farm, and he's certainly got a very, very bright future ahead of him.
Do you – because – and I know other guys have too, but since you're playing alongside him, like – do you pull him aside before his first game and say, you know, hey, this is what you can expect? Or do you want him to just kind of take that naturally? And if he comes to you and says, hey, Phil, I mean, what did you go through? Then do you give advice?
A little bit of both. Like before the first game, I was all about just letting him enjoy it, honestly. Yeah. The first game is not necessarily about hockey. It is, obviously, because you guys know how important the games are. But when you play your first game, it's about your family. It's about your journey there. It's a celebration of how great you've done, you know, at the end of the day. There's so much going on. I think you had 30 something people in the stands, you know, and family and the friends and everything, and that's what it's all about. But after that, then it kicks in, you know, for real in a way. And so I think that first game, I thought it was great. And then the second game, obviously, was huge for him to get his first point. And yeah, no better way than for him to give it to me, I guess. So that was perfect.
Talking with Philip Forsberg here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, UC Saros has been absolutely fantastic through his first three games. And one thing that Barry Trotz said on our station yesterday was the play in front of him, that the defense is really doing a good job there, but Juice has just been locked in. I know that has to make you all feel really good to be able to back him up, but also watch him do his thing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, certainly. Been a couple tweaks that has been, you know, driven a little bit by him too, just in the way that he's playing and tweaks of our defense, and I think those have paid off really well so far. He's seeing a ton of pucks. He's, when he sees it, he's going to stop it. That's how good he is. And obviously the RD and our centers and people that are usually around the net a little bit more than us wingers are doing a great job cleaning up, and us wingers are trying to block shots a little bit more than we might have done in the past. And I think so far it's been great, and obviously there's still has been breakdowns that Juice to bail us out from, and he's been there. So I've loved every second of watching him play so far.
Now, I can't have you on the show and not get a Felix update, because we all enjoyed the suits, the matching suits that you had on the Gold Walk. Was that your idea? Was that Aaron's idea? Was that kind of a collaboration? How'd that come about?
Yeah, it was a little bit of both. I think it was, we have a friend that makes, you know, custom clothing suits and all kinds of stuff. And so he was brought on probably a little later than we should have on the process, but he pulled that off in, I think, a week or so from scratch. So that was very impressive to do that for both of us. I'm very thankful for that. But originally the idea was just kind of, I guess, the three of us, me and Aaron and Mitch, as his name is, and kind of spitballing things, and he had a couple great ideas on track suits, and I loved it, and it turned out really well.
It was cool. How much fun have you had watching the world through his eyes at such a young age?
Oh, it's been the best. I mean, it's been, you know, almost a year and a half now of just, like you said, constant refreshments and kind of, like you said, reliving moments through his eyes. It's been really cool, and can't wait to continue to do that.
Has he been on skates yet?
No, he's been on the ice, obviously, with me holding him a couple times. But we're looking at a Christmas party probably for the first time. We'll see how that's going to go. But he's definitely into hockey, so I'm sure he'll be into that as well.
Very, very nice. Phil, thanks so much for doing this today. Good luck Thursday against Montreal, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds great. Thank you, guys.
That's Philip Forsberg joining us here on the program. And again, every Wednesday at 1 o'clock, or in the 1 o'clock hour, we will be joined by a prominent Preds player, just like Philip Forsberg. We'll have more coming up next from Scoreboard Bar and Grill here on Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.
Hell yeah! Thank you!
Chase and Big Joe.
Got fans out here today.
102.5 The Game. I it's funny. I was looking at my computer, and then here you go, hell yeah, and I look up, and I'm like, what's going on?
Stop by to say hi to us out here at Scoreboard on Music Valley Drive today. So
yes.
Coming up at 1, former athletic director Kevin White's going to join us. His son's the AD at Tennessee. He had a nice career of an AD at Arizona State, Notre Dame, and Duke. We'll get some good. He's got a new book out. A lot of insights.
We just keep adding schools. Like, you know, it starts with Duke and then Notre Dame and then Arizona State.
Yeah, he was there with when Jake Plummer was there, when they beat Vrabel in the Rose Bowl.
All that good stuff. It always comes back to Vrabel.
It always does. Again, out here. By the way, the Titans have designated Tavondre Sweat to return from IR. So could potentially have him available on Sunday if he's ready to go. Keep an eye on that. But appreciate Philip Forsberg for joining us in the last segment as they fall 7-4 last night to the Toronto Maple Leafs. And we'll take on the Montreal Canadiens coming up on Thursday. Pregame at 5, the puck drop at 6 o'clock here on 102.5 The Game. Phil, you know, having a good start to the season, and, you know, even though the Predators fell last night, I mean, I still like how they're playing. Obviously got to fix the power play.
Well, I think last night, I actually watched the game, Chase. They didn't quit. I mean, I know they were down. They kept coming back. How many empty netters did Toronto score? Two?
Yes.
Two last night. So, I mean, it's not like they were blown out of the building. They played tough, and I thought they kept coming back.
They kept
battling back,
and you had Perbick score his first goal as a Predator, and Ozzie Weisblatt was in there for a couple of points, which was good. And I thought they played well enough to be in the mix to win, but they just unfortunately couldn't get it done.
Yeah, and I don't know the stats of playing back-to-back. It's tough to win both of them. So, you know, they got the win at Ottawa on Monday, and they lost last night. Or is it last night, right?
Yeah.
Oh, Tuesday.
Yeah, last night.
Last night.
Yeah.
It wasn't back-to-back.
It was
back-to-back.
Doing?
Was it?
Yeah, Monday and then Tuesday. Monday is
today's
the
first
day of the week. Tuesday is the second
Thank
day
you.
Of the week.
Yes, so it was a back-to-back.
Wednesday
right.
is the third day of the week, which is today.
Which is today. That's why we're at scoreboard.
Unless you consider Sunday the first day of the week and then
Don't
you just
do that.
Shift everything
nope.
down.
Do not do that. So, they fought hard, and then they play Montreal tomorrow night, Thursday night.
Montreal.
Get that. So, look, they've got 5 points. This time last year, you know how many points they had?
Zero.
Zero.
Point zero.
So just keep fighting. I don't mind this. They got Montreal Thursday and then Winnipeg Saturday.
Correct. And then back here for a 5-game homestand starting Tuesday with Anaheim.
Okay.
Which will be interesting because that's the first matchup with the Ducks and Joel Quenneville since he has returned and taken that job as the head coach of the Ducks. Of course, Andrew Brunette replaced him in Florida as the interim coach when everything went down and Quenneville resigned. So that'll be a interesting little matchup.
It's all connected, man.
Yep.
They're all connected somehow. I don't know. I like the way they fought last night and played.
Yeah. I mean, Andrew Brunette's talked about it. Barry Trotz talked about it yesterday. When he was on with DVD of just the – I thought he had the best line, you know, the Barry Trotz, that is, talking about the defense and playing better in front of Saros especially. He's like, Ken Dryden could have been in net, and he wouldn't have had a chance, and he's one of the best, you know.
Right.
And it's like they have just improved so much in that area. There's still work. I mean, the power play, not going to panic too much yet. I mean, Phil just talked about that of they're seeing the looks. They just got to bury him, but – I think if this team, the fact that there's a buy-in, it just feels better. Everybody just feels like they're in the right place. The vibe is just completely different. Then they'll be fine.
Success to winning in any league, 50% on the road and about 70 to 75% at home. They split this road trip 2-2. I'm happy.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
If they can get one at Montreal tomorrow, that would be great. And they're the one at Winnipeg on Saturday. They come back and they get points, and you come back. You split a pretty early season tough road trip, and you're good to go, man.
Yeah. I mean, they're playing in some tough barns to play in, you know, Toronto and Montreal and Winnipeg. I mean, Winnipeg is – I tell people this. It's one of the coolest places I've ever been to atmosphere-wise in the playoffs because it's such a small rink that the noise just carries and like – You talk about because number one, there's nothing to do in Winnipeg, like nothing. And so they're all about the Jets.
Isn't Montreal, aren't they quiet? Isn't that, there's a weird,
I don't know. I've never been. I would like to go. I want to hit like all the Canadian cities. And of course I think I've explained this to you before. When I hit the Powerball, the first thing that we're going to do is take the show and our good friend Ricky and our good friend Amber, and we're going to Ottawa.
Okay.
So
to Ottawa?
Yeah, we're going to Ottawa.
I'd rather go to like Vancouver.
We're going to Ottawa.
What's in Ottawa?
Because I don't remember the true origin of this. I think it was one day we're all hanging out, and they asked, what would you do if you won the Powerball? And I jokingly said, we're going to Ottawa. And it's just been – it's kind of just stuck.
Okay.
And so now it's, like, been brought up so much that we kind of have to do it.
Can we go to Vancouver afterwards?
Yeah. No, we'll have the plane.
You ever been to Guelph?
No.
The only reason I know what Guelph is, it's where they filmed part of the original Superman. That's the only reason I know. That's the only Canadians – Hamilton, Ottawa, and Guelph. Those are the ones I've been to.
If I said half the stuff that, like, is the response in my head, I would not work here.
Well, go ahead.
I can't say it now.
Look, it's just us. It's done. And Dr. Crane. Right, Dr. Crane? Is that it?
That's correct.
It's three of us. Nobody's listening.
It's an inside joke everybody's involved in.
I know. I need to put that on a promo.
That's a good one. Right. It is.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, we're excited to have Kevin White join us. The book is called The Good Sport. It is reflections on a full life in college sports. The former AD will join us coming up next, live from Scoreboard here on 102.5 The Game.